Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay and it's bitch girls. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Steam squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like,
hey girls,
welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
Oh,
you and a round of applause by accident.
Well, I do like a round of applause. I do love a little clap.
That's like a little fake live show for us.
Thank you so much.
So gals, if you didn't see on our Instagram, we have a fun little announcement for you all. If you're feeling like you want to do some online shopping, we are having a massive flash sale on our Teespring. So for 15% off until the end of September, use this code SXC4SEP. So sexy for Sep, like sexy for September.
Yeah, we want to make you looking sexier in September. So we have, all our shit that is on our Teespring. So this is not the, we won't take our summer stuff.
Yeah, this is just on our Teespring. So basically we are going to be judging that entire store up. Not everything is going to be available anymore. We might keep some key pieces. We might outdo the whole thing. We haven't fully decided yet. But if you've ever wanted, so like one of our Not Ours totes, our Wet and Woke totes, the Wet and Woke hoodies, the crew neck, the cup, anything that's on that store, basically consider it that it might be discontinued because we haven't even decided yet, to be honest.
And to be honest, we might just take it all off because it was great doing everything with Jan and getting the physical t-shirts as opposed to like, you know, it's kind of click and collect vibe on Teespring, or it's print and collect.
So I
think we're just going to give a total overhaul. Mm-hmm. And I love that about the merch, that it's like, get it while it's hot, you know?
Exactly. So consider this to be get it while it's hot on Teespring. Obviously we have like, it's coming into autumn, you know, you want to get your nice hoodies. I'm definitely going to order
a fresh hoodie.
Same. I love the crew neck as well. I've cropped mine and I literally live in that thing. And then obviously, I mean, me and Lindsay are constantly grabbing each other's tote bags because we use them so much.
Yeah,
I'm like, am I using the Not Arsed one today? You're like, no, you're the Wet and Woke today.
No, they are just so great. I love, remember one day, I think we were both wearing the black hoodies. Oh, there's a flipping jet ski on the beach. Whoa.
People are going swag wild. Alert. Isn't it fun sitting? Because we're actually swapping seats in our studio now and Lindsay's getting the window view. I'm always like looking off over her head.
So funny. Like, ooh. But someone's paddle boarding.
I saw that.
Hello, sexy. Okay, so we might have a little mosey down to the beach afterwards. But today we have Aisling O'Kelly, AOK Nutrition, has come on to talk all things periods, contraception, just hormones in general.
So interesting.
Yeah, so interesting. And we learned loads. So we were really just sitting down and absorbing all of her knowledge.
Like a tampon.
Like a tampon does, yes, with CBD oil and it's an organic bleach-free tampon.
But Aisling is like, so she's a local girl as well, friend of the pod through people. But she is a wealth of knowledge on everything to do with periods, contraceptives, hormones, anything to do with that. So do listen to that.
Because we wanted to help you. We wanted to aid you. We're noticing that we spoke about it on X-Gals. We were a little bit shady. If you want X-Gals, that's where you go for the shady, juicy tea. But we were talking about, you know, how we're seeing a lot of influencers speaking about periods and like normalizing periods and normalizing period talk, but with that it's like, it's all well and good talking about your heavy flow, but what's going on behind that? So that's why we wanted to get AOK Nutrition on, because she knows the kind of whole science and reasoning why, you know, you can be having a regular periods or two heavy periods, or, you know, skipping them, and how the pill can affect you and all these things, and how it can affect your mood and your makeup and anxiety and depression, all these things that like a lot of women that listen to us are dealing with. So we wanted to just offer you someone who was better than us, right? Basically,
yeah, well,
we didn't know. We learned, and we love like learning with you. And we're also going to get some herbs.
Oh yeah, we are going to, like, we've already been talking to her about our own, because Lindsay and I have kind of opposite cycles in a way, but interestingly, it's the same cure. So
yes,
we will be testing out some of the herbs from Aisling. But do listen, if you've any questions or any interest whatsoever. I found out about her doing podcasts. I didn't even know she did podcasts because I listened to her on a podcast, which I will link on my Instagram today in case you're also interested, because that's more to do with like training and all that kind of stuff, which we just talked about pure periods.
Yeah, pure dense periods. So yeah, go listen to that and go follow Aisling as well, because yes, she has a lot of highlights, so you can just learn from this queen, our new friend of the pod.
An hour was not enough, but yeah, so it's AOK Nutrition on Instagram. And if not, here is the episode right now, girls. Enjoy. So welcome to the pod. Friend of the pod.
New friend of
new
the pod.
Friend new of the friend pod. Of the pod. Aisling O'Kelly, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for asking me to come on.
Oh, we're delighted to have you on.
Very happy. So if you want to introduce yourself, you'd probably do a better job.
Yeah, than we will.
Yeah, so my business is called AOK Nutrition. I have a clinic in Portmarnock and I'm a nutritionist, I'm a naturopath, and our whole business is kind of like looking at the body and using natural medicine to fix it. So in the last, I'd say like 2 or 3 years, I kind of just fell into loving female hormones, I guess. And that's most of what my business would be now at the moment. We use, like I said, nutrition. My mum was also a herbalist. So my mum's been a herbalist like 30 years. So she kind of did it like years ago when people were literally like, who is this witch doctor? Like mad. And so we were kind of brought up in natural medicine from like day one. And I kind of, me and her now own our clinic together. So I kind of have a good background because we were kind of brought up with it. And then I obviously went and trained in it myself.
Deadly. I heard out of you first, actually. Well, I think I followed you on Instagram, but I listened to a podcast with a trainer in my gym, Adam. And I actually listened to it because he kept sharing stories like of people like screen grabbing the thing, being like, I learned more about this, more about my period in this than I did in school. So I was like, okay, I've got to listen to this shit. And I was literally like jaw on the floor, the stuff that I learned. And I would even consider myself like kind of woke around some of the stuff. But there's actually like, it's such an, like, it's a topic that a lot of people don't know a lot about, I feel.
Yeah.
And I got that from a lot of the questions we got, which we'll get into later on.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what we'd like to talk, I mean, we've got so much to cover today on hormones, periods, everything.
My favorite topic.
I know. I love that you're
and I'm on my period. And like,
and so I'm ovulating. So
okay. And I'm due my period.
Okay, perfect. So we all the trilogy. Different phases of the cycle, yes, which we'll learn about today.
Yeah. Amazing. So, yeah, I think for sure our Irish women do not know or really even care to know, to look into their cycle and what it means. And, you know, I find like even through talking to my friends, they can be like, oh, this is going on with me this month, and oh, I just randomly didn't get a period, and they won't look any further. They'll just be like, oh well, brush it off. And I do that myself as well. So I thought it would be really good to be able to like learn more so we can kind of like understand more, because that's like what's the word saying?
What?
Knowledge is wealth.
Knowledge is power.
We have a problem with
sayings. We always sayings. We start them and then we don't know how to finish them.
As they say, knowledge is wealthage.
Knowledge is great to be knowledgeable. Fantastic. So first I want to talk about, we'll open up. I was looking at your Instagram story the other day and you were talking about natural cycles as contraception.
Yeah.
Can you give us an overview of what that is? Because I don't think, I watched your story and I was like, oh, so interesting. But I don't think, Lindsay, you know as well, do you? Of the like actual tool.
Oh yeah, I do.
Oh yeah. Oh,
okay.
I was thinking of getting one a few years ago when I was vegan. That was like the kind of, all the vegans were using.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it the temperature thing where you kind of like blow into it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There is, when I say like contraceptive, people always think like the pill, the Marina coil, the copper coil. People don't actually really realize that you can also just be off all contraceptive and still use your own cycle as a natural contraceptive. Okay. So when I tell clients, there's only 6 days of the year you can actually, or 6 days, sorry, of the month you can get pregnant. People are like gobsmacked. Like people don't realize that. So natural cycles works by, God, it actually sounds like an ad or something.
Yeah.
Natural cycles works. It works by tracking your body temperature.
Okay.
And what will happen is once you ovulate, your body temperature goes up.
Okay.
So you're meant to take your temperature every single morning at the same time. The app is really smart. Like, it's not just like, you know, like a period app that you track that kind of way. Like, it has like an algorithm. It's gone through like clinical testing. Like, it's FDA approved. So it's not like it's just like me being like, check your body temperature and, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the app is smart. It knows. And I said on my Instagram the other day that I'm like, I basically got sent one just to try it, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna just use it for like a couple of weeks just to see like how it goes. But yeah, it's good. Like, I think if you have quite a regular cycle and you're kind of getting a period every 28 days, it is good to use. If you're someone who gets a period every like 3 or 4 months, it's probably not great because you're not going to ovulate. So what's going to happen? You're just going to have red days the whole time. Like, basically the app tells you when you're fertile or when you're not fertile, when you need to use protection, when you don't. And if it never, the first month or two, it's going to basically do it by gauging when your ovulation is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I would only think it's really good for people who actually regular cycles.
And are probably know their cycle quite well.
Kind
of,
yeah. Like, it's natural cycles is kind of just like an easy version for people who don't really know how the cycle works. Like, for me personally, I've never used natural cycles because I don't need to use it. Like, I've been on contraceptives in, my God, like 8 years, maybe longer. And I've been like a long-term relationship, not pregnant yet, fingers, like, you know, so I'm doing well.
Are you just doing the pull-out vibe?
Pretty much.
Yeah, same.
But I know my cycle so well. So certain days I'd be like, no, like, you need to be more careful, and other days I don't.
Yeah.
So 6 days before around ovulation, I know, okay, we need to be careful now.
Yeah.
When you said about the 6 days, because we hear kind of like always about like horror stories that like this girl got pregnant on her period, or like she hadn't had, you know, all these kind of things. So is that absolutely definite?
Yeah.
And can the sperm stay inside and like then?
Yeah.
That's what you said the other day on Instagram. And I was like, you know, that mind blown emoji. Yeah. I was like,
so.
Yeah, they can live inside us for.
Yeah. So the 6 days, right? You have the day of ovulation. So let's just say, for example, we do have a regular 28 day cycle. Your ovulation will be 2 weeks before that. Ovulation's always 2 weeks before you get your period.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not 2 weeks after you finish it. It's always 2 weeks before.
It just means if you have a 40 day cycle, it means you ovulate in day 26.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind
of way? Yeah, because my cycle can be a little bit longer, and I know my app tells me like, I always thought it was always in the middle, no matter how long it was, but it's not. It's actually just the 2 weeks before.
Exactly. So the day you get your period, you know, okay, I actually ovulated 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So basically, ovulation, and just to say, people actually don't know, ovulation is when the egg gets released, okay? Yeah. And the egg lives for 12 to 24 hours. So say, for example, with natural cycles, if you're waiting for your temperature to go up, that means you've ovulated. And if you haven't been having sex a few days before that, let's say you are trying to get pregnant, you've basically wasted those 2 days. You only have that 24-hour window then to get pregnant, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, why I'm saying you're fertile for 6 days is because you have the day of ovulation plus the 5 days before, because sperm lives for 5 days.
Oh, that's
wild. And this is the thing when people floating around looking for something to do. So like,
ooh, loads
as men
of them.
Do.
Yeah. And you know, this is just a complete side note, but I'm always so fascinated. Maybe actually your listeners can tell me this. They say that let me just get this right, female sperm swims slower. So you're better off having, so if you've sex on day 10 and don't have sex again, then get pregnant, you're more likely to have a girl. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know how accurate it is. Like, I see my clients, we see a lot of people for fertility, and I'm like, please come back and make note when you got pregnant and tell me if it's a boy or a girl. Like, I don't think any been like proper like clinical trials.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wild.
So you're the 6 days that you can get pregnant would be the 5 days before the first day of ovulation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when you ovulate in day 14, if you have sperm in you already, that will fertilize the egg.
And that's crazy. Is it one egg that gets released every month?
Yeah. Most of the time. Sometimes if two eggs get released, that can be twins. Non-identical twins, usually. Yeah.
Oh, my sister's.
Yeah.
That was two eggs.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I think when the egg splits, they're identical twins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nearly sure.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Most of the time, one egg gets released every month, but about 5 or 6 eggs actually get produced every month.
Okay.
And only one of them then gets released.
So sick we have eggs inside us.
It really is.
The more I think about it, I'm like, that's so interesting.
I had that happen to me inside my bod.
Yeah, you had all that.
My the sperm was meeting the egg.
Yeah.
And making a baby.
Like we said to do.
When you got pregnant, Lindsay, were you like tracking your cycle? Or did you just kind of be like, okay, we'll just, you know, not use any protection and see how it goes?
Well, we spoke about it before where like, you know, my mom and dad, I was not trying.
Yeah.
I was just like unsure because of like the church and contraception and stuff like that. So I was like winging it basically. And I think a lot of women as well, I think it's like an anxiety fear thing. I was like, I'll never get pregnant. I don't think I'll ever be able to have babies. And then I was like, oh, no, I can.
I'm super jealous.
But
what about on Luna then? Were
on
you?
On Luna, I wasn't tracking. No, I've never really tracked my period. I kind of just, I'm surprised. My period is weird. weird. I have a weird ass period.
Talk about it today.
Another type of wap.
Like, say last week I had sex and it was like, you know, when I sometimes like the dick goes up there, it's obviously touching the period that's waiting to come. So dick came out. He was like, oh, you're on your period. I was like, oh, okay. And I was wearing, like, I was, you know, thinking I was on my period. It never came out until the dick went back in a week later. And I was like, oh, now I'm on my period. It was like poking the fucking period balloon or something. And now it's like,
well,
yeah, but even you'll get that sometimes. Like, you get like Lindsay's always, we have such a different period as well. Like, Lindsay will always be like, mine's about to drop, but mine just is like floodgates open day one. It's like,
ugh. Mine takes like 4 days.
So you're spotting, which is actually due to stress generally. Great. Spotting is more got to do with lack of progesterone. We can talk about that later. Going off on a tangent. We'll talk about
we kind of always do go off on tangents. It's okay. Oh, so, stress. Fucking hell, I knew that.
It's always stress. It's stress. So whenever she's stressed, that happens.
And I'm always stressed.
So before we talk about that, let's talk about contraception a bit, I think. Because I think in Ireland, which is funny because for a country that like contraception was illegal for so long, so many girls, especially like our age and a little bit younger, are put on like the pill or like hormonal contraceptive very early without really understanding what it is. I think, like, obviously I put up a question box yesterday and I was just like, just what do you want to know, kind of generic, and a good amount of questions were like, do I ovulate on the NuvaRing, or why do I get PMS on the regular pill? And I think there's a bit of confusion over like what different types of contraception do. Are they all the same? Are some hormonal or some not hormonal and all the rest like that? So do you have any, I'm sure you have loads of input. Yeah. You're like, well,
let me tell you. The most common one people go on is the contraceptive pill. The biggest, I think, like mind-blowing thing, like you were saying earlier about sperm living, that came on me a few years ago when I was training, was that the pill, the belief that you get on the pill is not a real period. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, the pill regulates your periods, obviously, right? But the way the pill works, it stops ovulation. And ovulation is like the key. People are always obsessed with their periods and saying, I didn't get my period this month. What that means, though, is that you didn't ovulate that month. And ovulation is the most important thing, because the way you make your hormones is you ovulate, okay? That's how our body makes our estrogen, our progesterone levels, which is so important for your energy, for your mood. So that's the only thing sometimes when people are on the pill, I'm always just like, oh, but you're not making your own hormones, okay? So basically just to say, you have the contraceptive pill, you have the ring, you have the patch. They're all very similar. They're called like combined hormones. They have estrogen and progesterone in it, or progesterone in it. And you basically take a break on those and you get a bleed. The bleed that you get, like I said, it's not a real period. It's a synthetic bleed due to the synthetic form of estrogen in the pill or in the patch or in the ring, okay? The big thing to always remember about estrogen is it makes things grow.
Okay.
So in our own body, the first 2 weeks of your cycle, estrogen kicks in. And that causes your uterine lining, which is your period, basically to grow, right? When you're on the pill, for example, you're taking a pill every single day with low dose estrogen in it as well, which is causing the uterine lining to grow. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. Then the thing that makes your period drop when you're on the pill is you stop taking the pill, okay? So that drop in hormones causes that uterine lining to shed,
okay?
In our own body, it's a drop in progesterone, which is the second half of your cycle, that causes your you to get your period. So when I said to you there a second ago, it's lack of progesterone that causes spotting. You're meant to have enough progesterone basically to get you from the day you ovulate up until day 28 for the second 2 weeks of your cycle, let's say. Okay. The main thing it eases up is stress. So if you've been really, really stressed that month and you don't have enough progesterone, you get your period too early. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. That's crazy. So and is it true, right? So I heard a rumor.
Rumor has it.
But I've heard this like in, you know, kind of like different forms throughout the years, that like they introduced the 7 day break on the pill, because I heard originally that it was like the doctor who invented it was like, women will be really confused if they don't bleed.
Yeah, 100%.
Some people have also said it was the Catholic Church, but I think it was mainly this doctor. That's what I had heard.
It's a way we think it's normal.
Yeah.
Because you still get a month. Women will be freaked if they just didn't bleed at all. So you're better off having a fake bleed than no bleed.
Yeah.
So then if they're thinking, it's probably to make people continuously use the pill.
Yeah.
Like, if obviously they're trying to make money.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, yeah, it just make it feel more normal, I guess.
A placebo effect kind of, where you're like, oh, I got my period.
And I see it all the time. Mainly the women who come to me and they're like, yeah, I had irregular cycles and then I went on the pill and now they're fine. And I'm like, no, you had irregular cycles and now you went on the pill and now you have no cycle. Now you're on the pill. Like, you haven't ovulated. So I've come in the 30s and like, oh yeah, when I was 15, you know, I had irregular cycles, but now it's fine. I'm like, no, you actually haven't ovulated in 15 years.
That's scary. So what if we're talking about the pill, which is like the most common, and especially like, you know, for a lot of the time, it would have been the first kind of contraception that you're put on. For myself, I think I when like I had Rilo.
Yeah, so most
I put it on. I went on it for a while, but I always had like a kind of just, I didn't like the idea of it. I didn't like the idea of just taking a pill every day that would stop something like that. I always had that in my head. So I think I've only used it for maybe like 3 months of my whole life. But, you know, there's obviously people who don't question that as much. So they just will like start it at whatever young age and then they're still on it.
Yeah.
So what is like the problem with that? Because I'm sure there's a problem. Is there?
I kind of have two opinions on it. Like, I'm like, when you go to college or even, or let's say you're in, you know, whatever, 15, 16, 17, you want to have sex, you don't want to get pregnant. I'm like, isn't it amazing that we live in 2020 where you can go be on a contraceptive and be in control of your own body? I'm not against pill at all. I'm more reluctant to recommend people who are put on it for heavy periods, irregular periods, PMT, period pain. All of that is hormonal imbalance and you're completely masking the problem. I'm also concerned when I see clients then who suffer really bad with anxiety, who in like say like early 20s, who suffer really bad with, or they think anyway, they've low sex drive. This is a huge one. All my clients are between like 18 and 35 and nearly everyone I see says they've low sex drive. And I'm like, we can't all have low libido. That's not like, do you know what I mean? That's not like, I think that number one, it's got to do with our perception of what it should be like, but also the contraceptive pill switches off your hormones. So like you being like, I was going to say there, when you're like trying not, you know, trying not trying when you're trying to get pregnant, you think that you're like, you know, in control of it, but your body's telling you to have sex at certain times of the month as well. When you're fertile, your libido is higher. Do you get me? That's why people accidentally get pregnant all the time. And I'd say one night stands, how unlikely it is. You've 6 days at home once you get pregnant to meet someone randomly and get pregnant.
It's crazy.
Do you know what I mean? It's probably because you're ovulating and your pheromones are higher. The opposite attracting, the opposite sex thinks you look hotter when your pheromones are up. And so your body is very smart. And this thing as well, that when you're on the pill at such a young age, for say 10, you know, 15 years, you don't know what your own sex drive is like.
Totally.
And even a mood as well really, really affects, I think anyway, just from working with so many clients, your mood, because you never, ever, ever make progesterone when you're on the pill. And progesterone is a really calming hormone, which we'll go into more detail in a couple of minutes.
Because I was not put on the pill. I basically, when I started, when my mom started to get a fucking whiff of me riding when I was, my boyfriend, when I was like 16, she's like, what would you think about going on the pill? Because she was just like, I remember I was like, I'm not having sex though. And she was like, well, just in case.
Yeah.
Because she was like, at least you can kind of control it. Because she was basically like, I trust you more than any lad, like horny young guy who's like, yeah, I put a condom on. You know, she was just like, and I liked it for that reason when I was younger too. Because I was like, it did give me kind of peace of mind that I was like, at least I know that I'm not going to get pregnant. Like, I did not want to get pregnant. Still don't really right now. So, you know, when I was 18, 17, I really didn't. And then I stayed in the pill, I think probably up until I was about 20, and then I came off because I was like, I'm not seeing anyone or having like regular sex, you know, that way. And I kind of went on and off it, then like kind of flipped back and forth. And then when I got in a relationship in my mid 20s, I went on it and I was kind of fine on it for, I'm going to say like a year or two. And then it was just like my loss of libido, like complete. And because I could definitely compare it to when I wasn't on the pill, you know, that way. And then obviously my partner noticed it as well, but it was weird that it took it. I remember it, like we were talking about it and I was like, I just don't have any sex drive at the moment. It's so weird. And it, the last thing that came into my mind, I was like, oh my god, maybe it's the pill. And I went off the pill, and I think it took, I remember this was the last time that I was like, well, I really don't want to be on the pill again, because I think it took, I'm gonna say, almost 10 months for my period to regulate then after coming off it. I couldn't believe it.
Hadn't even been on it that long.
I that was probably one of the longest runs I'd been on it, other than when I was very young, and like I got my period quite late as well. So I was like 16 when I got my period, like almost 16 I think. So I never really knew my cycle that much. But when I was off it from say 20 to 24, I would always get it every like 32 days or so. And then when I went back off it from the pill, like I was getting, I think it was like 50 days for like 4 months. Then it went down to like 45. It took, because I actually have it all on my phone. That's when I got my, that Clue app that tells you you can log all your periods. I looked back on it recently because I think I was late on my period and I was like, have I ever gone this fucking long before, you know, that way? And I was like, holy shit, you could see all of the, and I was like, that's crazy to think that if I was trying to get pregnant after coming off it, that's like a whole year. Gone, you know, that way. So that was something that I was like, whoa, okay, I don't think I want to be on that anymore.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You know? Mm-hmm. And do you get that? Do you find that like when people come to you if they're going off the pill?
Oh my God, people are terrified. Terrified. Yeah. I have the main two clients, either like acne's a big one as well. It's just, again, in two minds, I'm like, when you're really bad acne, 15, 16, 17 isn't amazing. You have something like the pill that you can go on to, but chances are when you come off, it is going to come back again. You
know, that was
like,
a big question we got.
Yeah. Mm. If we can talk about that as well. Yeah. With the, or like heavy periods, like girls like fainting in school, like out once. I remember my friends be like that in school, like they'd be really, really bad periods every single month and been on the pill ever since. And it's like, you have to address that at some stage. Mm. So a lot of people come to me, for that basically, and I would say like, right, let's do like a month plan, let's get everything, all of our ducks in a row before you come off the pill. The big thing that I explain to clients the minute they come in and see me is it's a complete lifestyle change. It's risk of kind of saying real cliche and being like, you need to change your lifestyle.
Yeah.
But like, when you see people for hormones, you are going to have a period give or take for the next 20 years, so it's not an 8-week transformation program. This mm-hmm. isn't like get rid of all the foods you love, take these supplements like for the next 10 weeks and feel great, and it's like, then what? So I explain to people why your hormones are out of balance, what causes it, what you need to do to keep them in check, and then stay on top of it yourself. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? People understand how it works. It's so much easier to keep up yourself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll see a lot of people for those kind of issues. Like, people are just terrified, absolutely terrified. And a lot of people since seeing my Instagram were like, oh my God, I didn't have my period. Like, I thought everything was fixed. I didn't know, I still have irregular cycles. Like,
so many people said that even on the question box that I put up. They were just like, do I ovulate on this form of contraception? Because I think it's only the copper coil.
Yeah, so just explain the other one. So basically, you have the combined pill, then you have the mini pill, and the mini pill is progesterone only, right? So the way progesterone works is it thins uterine lining, it stops bleeding. Okay. So that's things like the implant, what other one? The mini pill.
Oh yeah.
And the Marina coil, those three ones. And usually people, you shouldn't really get any bleed on them.
Okay. The injection as well.
The depot, yeah. Oh my God, I hate that one.
Really? Yeah. I knew a girl who got it, and like, you have to get it every 3 months or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just so strong. Like the progesterone I'm talking about there, it looks more like, or it acts more like testosterone in the body. So you'll see things like, I see it all the time, like hair loss and like really oily skin, like acne, hair growth on things like the especially the depot and things like the implant and the mini pill, you see those more. They work though, they don't always stop ovulation. The mini pill, the Marina and the implant, that's not how it works.
Okay.
But a lot of time it will like invertly stop ovulation because your body's like, what is going on?
Yeah, basically. It's like a side effect almost.
Yeah, your body's like freaked basically. And it works as well by causing your cervical mucus to be much thicker. So if sperm does get in there, it can't swim, it can't get very far. Oh. Do you know what I mean? And then let's say sperm does get there, it does fertilize the egg, there's no uterine lining for the egg to basically like snuggle into and for a fetus then to develop.
Okay, so you just shed it no matter what, or do you bleed on that?
There's no bleed on it. There shouldn't be any
so it
bleed.
It stays there.
Yeah,
I always think of those things.
Yeah, it just dies. It just dies. Yeah, off. Yeah. I'm like, even I was like, what?
I'm just imagining it like, floating around.
I could have been someone.
Yeah,
but so when you're saying, say about like women who are coming, who are trying to use the pill to like deal with heavy periods or irregular periods, what would be the main issues? Like, obviously that's, you're saying is masking the issues, but what if these problems are presenting themselves? Is it usually like a mental thing, or is it a health thing, or food? What's the main kind of problems that are resulting in these issues?
Okay, so I think first I'm just going to explain how your hormones actually work.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, and I'm always like to clients, we did all of this in like junior cert biology, we just didn't know it was important. Like, they should have been like, no, this is actually your body. Like, you know,
it's not just a picture in a book.
No, and even I think about, I'm like, why didn't they explain it better? Being like, so I relate to how people feel. Anyway, let's explain to you, right? So I would say like day one is the first day of your period. So the first day of your proper bleed, like Lindsay, if you're getting spotting a few days before, that's the end of your, like, that's your old cycle. That's still the last few days.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
So it's not, so her first day of her period is not the spotting.
No, it's a proper period.
Is it today?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've been spotting for the last 4 days, let's say.
For a week.
For a week. Oh my God, you need to come in. Oh God. I'll explain to you now, right?
Yeah. No, it like will come out and then it will stop for a couple of days. And then I'm like, oh, I don't think I have a period this month. And then, and I'm not on any contraception or anything like that. Yeah. And then it just random, I was stressed last night and it was just like, because this has happened, this is why I went on anxiety medication, was because I was bleeding like so heavily.
Every two weeks.
It was just like, and I was walking around and I could just feel the stream of blood coming out. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So yeah,
that happened. Like red alarm is going off.
So I went to the doctor and I was like, here, what's the story? Like, is this a stress related thing? And she was like, probably. And yeah, then I was kind of fine for a while, but then yesterday I was really stressed. And then again, this morning in the shower, it was just like this pouring of blood casually.
Okay. So basically, to everyone listening, the first day of like your proper bleed is day one.
Okay.
And everyone kind of feels crap on day one because what happens is all your hormones drop. So the pill's like mimicking how our own body works. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like feeling a bit tired, a bit emotional is normal, even a bit crampy on day one. Mm-hmm. Once day one kicks in, you feel so much better, right? Mm-hmm. Or once it's gone. And the first hormone that kicks in is estrogen. Mm-hmm. And estrogen is like your get up and go hormone. I would say it's like vitality, your sex drive, your mood. If you're working out, you're going to be stronger the first half of your cycle. Your metabolism is even better. Like you don't need as much food and you don't you can utilize carbohydrates better. So even your body is just like amazing the first half of your cycle, right? I always say like if you're going to clean spring clean your wardrobe, there's always the first 2 weeks of your cycle.
And you feel so skinny because you've just had all the bloat's gone.
No bloat, exactly, right?
I do love that time.
Yeah,
yeah, feel great. Me today, great. I'm like amazing today. Yeah. And it does, it makes you feel really, really good.
You
like
do. You do.
And even that, like I was saying earlier, like your sex drive is better. Like you'd be like, oh, my makeup looks great today. Like you're just.
Your skin is so much better, I always find
your
as
skin
well.
Is better. No, it actually is so much better though. The main thing to always remember with estrogen is it makes things grow. So it's the estrogen that causes your uterine lining to thicken. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it makes your period basically, right? Once you ovulate, you make progesterone. And progesterone is like, I would say like my favorite hormone. So that's like such a nerd. But it's like your...
All the others are like, about me.
Yeah, my favorite hormone. It's like your like mother nature hormone. It's calming. It's really good for anxiety. It's really good for mood. It's a natural painkiller. So it helps like your cramps at the end of the month. It thins the uterine lining. So it's meant to thin that estrogen there that you just get a normal period. You don't have too much bleeding. Okay. Now, this is an ideal world. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fortune doesn't really work like this. And most issues I see in the clinic, it's a lack of progesterone in comparison to estrogen. So it's too much estrogen that's due to the problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The first reason why progesterone can be low is due to stress, because our body will steal progesterone to make stress hormones. Okay. And that goes for emotional stress, like lockdown.
Yeah.
My period came at day 24 and I was disgusted with myself. I'm like, what are you doing?
You're like, I'm meant to be perfect.
I'm like, I'm A-okay nutrition, but that was in March. Like,
estrogen is like, fucking, that's why you say for saying progesterone is your favorite fucking hormone, bitch.
But that was in March when obviously the world was upside down. No one knew what we were doing. And I was like, oh my God, but that was purely lack of progesterone. So my period came too early. Okay. Mm-hmm. From lack of progesterone. The other reason why progesterone can be low has got to do with egg quality or egg health. This is really, really important for anyone who's planning getting pregnant. So our eggs, we're born with all of our eggs in our ovaries and they take about 3 months to fully develop. And then it turns into a baby basically if he gets fertilized. Same with sperm actually as well. But what you do over those 3 months determines how healthy your eggs are. Do you know that kind of
is this in the start of conception?
Yeah, talking about? So it's 3 months before you plan on getting pregnant.
Before
you get pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're really, really healthy and take good quality supplements, try not to be stressed for those 3 months, those eggs will be much better quality then. And then when you conceive, the eggs will make progesterone for you then as well, or the fetus makes progesterone. So you want to make sure that's as good quality as possible, because if you have lack of progesterone there, a lot of time miscarriages are due to lack of progesterone.
Okay,
so it's just important just to kind of make sure that you're doing everything that you can.
That makes sense that maybe so many people are getting, like, I don't know if you've noticed it, but so many people are getting like randomly pregnant during like the like April, May, June of lockdown. I wonder if it's because everyone's just like being so chill. They're eating well, they're lying in, you know, that
and
way.
As women, we're eating more food. Yeah. Like, so when I say stress in the body, stress is anything from emotional stress, over-exercising, and being busy during the day, and under eating, like under eating puts stress. I mean, you're like hangry, your body's like, sorry, feed me, like I'm stressed over here. So as women, we do put a lot of stress on our body, which means you're constantly tapping into your progesterone. Okay, that's one side of it.
Interesting.
The other side then, as progesterone can be too low, is that estrogen is too high. Okay. And this is more typically what I would see with women. So a lot of foods can increase estrogen. The main thing that I look at first is cow's milk dairy products. So things like your whey proteins, your milk, your cheese, your chocolate, your yogurts. Like, people have loads in their diet. Like, I've seen people, especially in Ireland,
we love our dairy, especially.
We love our tea. Yeah. And it's actually just cow's milk. So I get my clients onto things like sheep's milk, goat's milk. So if you like, for example, feta cheese, buffalo mozzarella, goat's cheese. It's not about, like, people are like, my calcium, my diet. So it's not, we're literally taking it off it completely. We're reducing it down. Instead of having 7 cups of tea and a yogurt and, you know, Weetabix milk for breakfast and cheese and crackers as a snack, like, let's just minimize that. So you're not getting in as much. It's not like, go vegan and get rid of all the dairy.
Yeah. You know, there's alternatives that are still dairy.
Yeah.
And is that because of, like, lactose? There's higher lactose in cow's milk, or?
No, it's due to the protein in the milk. It's a protein called A1 casein protein.
Okay.
And that increases inflammation, which increase estrogen production.
Interesting. And is that what happens? Because I stopped drinking milk and eating yogurts and things like that. I was getting quite cramped, like quite strong cramps around my period. And when I like alleviated my dairy intake, like I do eat feta cheese and stuff like that. But and I stopped getting cramps. And I know that obviously it's quite common for women when they're older to get their, what's the word, the
endometriosis.
No, when you have like cysts on your
fibroids,
and you get like
fibroids
removed.
Oh, hysterectomy.
Yeah, hysterectomy.
Yeah.
You know, when like that can happen a lot with more older women when they are post menopause, and that can sometimes, I read, be because of dairy, and that like the hormones from dairy can just kind of promote like cysts and things.
So
on
again,
our ovaries.
It increases estrogen. So I said to you a few minutes ago, estrogen makes things grow. So it makes your uterine lining thicken, but you can have things called fibroids, which is like big, almost like cysts filled with blood in the uterine lining. You can have even things like estrogen dominant, like breast cancer, ovarian cancer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so it helps whatever estrogen is there grow into.
Yeah, okay. It's not bad. So it's like estrogen is a very fine line between it being good and bad. So it's amazing because it makes us ovulate. But it's when we have too much of it, which is the issue. So cow's milk is the first thing. Poor quality meat is another thing that, like, if you're buying, I would say, like, be careful where, like, make sure you're buying Irish meat, for example. You're not going into like Spar, no offense, or you know what I mean, like somewhere that's like just like deli meat. That, like, is that Irish meat? Is there hormones in the meat? Then you look at your environment, and this is where people are literally just like, oh my god, like mind blown. Like, and it's things like your environmental toxins. They're called xenoestrogens. So things like your plastics, our fake tans, our shampoos, our conditioners, our Yankee candles, they're basically chemicals, and they get breathed into the system, and our body's like, okay, I don't know what to do with that, so I'm just going to convert it into estrogen, basically. Oh. But it's not a real estrogen, it's like an estrogen mimicker. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So as women, like, and I always say to my clients, I love my tan. I'm like bleach blonde. Like, I'm love my makeup.
You're extremely glamorous.
Yeah, you are.
But I'm so aware of, I want to be like this, so I'm going to minimize my toxic load where I can. So for example, my shampoos, my conditioners are all like phthalate free, paraben free. All of my candles in my house are like natural soy wax candles. My friend Emma Jane, EJ's 2 cents, shout out to her. She makes gorgeous. Yeah, gorgeous candles.
And they always smell nicer as well. I hate those Yankee candles. They literally, like, I hate that like sweet chemical, like, ugh. So is it the parabens and stuff like that in our
parabens,
tans? That's what we should be looking for.
One of the worst ones is actually BPA. So I don't know, years ago, do you remember the whole BPA free, like,
I
every
do,
plastic?
Yeah.
So years ago, they found out plastics were releasing chemicals into our system called BPA. Yeah. And this was a massive estrogen mimicker. So that's the main thing I get clients to look at. Even things like reheating, if you're meal prepping, you know, reheating your lunchbox in the microwave, that's plastic. Or your utensils, if you're making, like, you know, a curry at night and you have like a plastic
mixing
thing.
Okay.
Receipts are really bad. So I'm so conscious that the ink on receipts is BPA.
No way.
Yeah. And at the moment, and anyone kind of in like nutrition health industry are all freaked, because hand sanitizer, what you're doing is putting hand sanitizer on your hands, and you're basically
like, so it's kind of absorbing the ink more, because
you're
it's
making
wet.
More, yeah, like alcohol on your hands.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? And then you take the receipt.
So it's soaking in.
Soaking in, exactly. Yeah. So
oh,
look,
God.
You don't have heavy periods because you're off taking receipts last
week.
Do you get me?
Yeah.
But it's just look at your total toxic load and try and minimize it where you can. Even fake tans, you're thinking to try and get more natural tans. Instead. Like, I think pretty much all the new tan brands now kind of are more natural. They're kind of more aware of it.
I think they all kind of have, like, they've realized that it's way more sexier, basically, for them to be like paraben free, cruelty free, vegan. Like, a lot of the new Irish ones, especially, I know, like Dripping Gold is vegan and has paraben free,
and like Bear has one. Body butter is your thing. Like, I remember loving like the Body Shop coconut, like,
so gorgeous, the shimmery one. I love that.
Literally
shit,
like a disco ball. Like, you're like, I'm amazing. But like, what are you putting on your skin? Like, so I just use like coconut oil. Like, there's a deli brand called Eco by Sonia.
Okay.
their stuff is amazing. It's a bit expensive, but like if you're someone who wants to get pregnant and doesn't care, has an unlimited budget, you're like, I just want really good quality stuff. And like moisturizers, they have like fake tan, all that kind of stuff, and it's really, really good.
So like minimize it where you can.
Yeah,
is the best thing to do, especially if you like your tan and all. Just know what you're putting on.
Well, just consider that, you know, we're obviously so focused on like diet and what we're consuming food wise, but like also, you know, our body is such, you know, you're absorbing stuff via your skin.
Yeah, your skin is your largest detoxification organ.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The last thing then that you've taken into consideration is detoxification. And this isn't like, you know, an 8-week juice cleanse. The word detox drives me insane. Your body is detoxing 24/7. Mm-hmm. Like, you know
it's
what I mean?
Its purpose.
Oh my God. If you stop detoxing, if you go on a big mad at the weekend, you're like, right, I need to detox on Monday. Like, it's just stupid. It's just marketing kind of thing. But basically what I look at with clients is, number one, constipation. I almost guarantee anyone listening who has like heavy periods or a lot of like sore boobs, cramps, like really bad period pain, I bet you they're constipated as well, because the way our body breaks down all of these xenoestrogens and even estrogen from the milk and that kind of thing is we poo them out. Mm-hmm. We get rid of them that way. It goes through our liver pathways and basically then through digestion. So gut health is massive. That's the main thing I would look at with clients, is supporting gut health.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So if you so think about all this, like people are stressed, they're eating too much cow's milk, they're not getting enough also green veg, which is so important for detoxification, and they're wearing loads of tan and makeup and candles and perfumes and nail varnishes. Like, no wonder so many people suffer with their hormones.
I haven't had a period in 6 months. What's wrong?
Do you know what I mean? It's like, no wonder. So
yeah, defo. So I guess now we can kind of talk a bit about like just, well, the importance of ovulation we kind of covered, I guess, but like periods, and a lot of people have written in who have PCOS. I think a lot of, I've heard that kind of being like, that term being used more and more over the last like couple of years. I never knew what it was. It sounds horrible. And then some people wrote in again about PMDD. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can talk about that just on like, just in general. So PCOS, one thing that you actually said, which I found really interesting on Adam's podcast, was that like, obviously, if any of you girls are like training, I'll link the podcast tomorrow. See, because like that's kind of more focused on like training and optimizing your period for all of that kind of stuff. But you said that, you know, if trainers aren't asking or knowledgeable about your cycle, and then they're, you know, telling like something like, say Lindsay comes to me and I'm like, okay, so use whey protein, have Greek yogurt. If you have PCOS and they're not aware, that's actually going to like work against you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is so interesting.
Yeah. Personal trainers should not be given nutrition advice to women with hormonal issues that way. Like, and the classic PT diet, you'll see like that, loads of protein, loads of chicken, loads of whey protein shakes. Mm. It's like the polar opposite of what people with like PCOS would be doing. What PCOS is, it's polycystic ovarian syndrome, and it's a hormonal issue caused by too much testosterone in the body.
Okay. So that's why you get the hair, because I know you can get hair growth and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So first of all, for anyone listening, I'm sure so many women I've seen, they've been diagnosed with PCOS because they've cysts on their ovaries. So, and that's just like, oh, you have PCOS, you have cysts in your ovaries. And you can have cysts in your ovaries without actually having polycystic ovarian syndrome. Okay. You can just have cysts on its own, which is really normal. Symptoms of PCOS, you're going to have irregular cycles. You could have acne. You could have excess facial hair. You could have, what's the other ones? High testosterone on a blood test, and insulin resistance, another one. So like, if you find it really, really hard to lose weight and that kind of side of things. But your body won't ovulate because it's freaked. It's like, sorry, we have too much testosterone. Are you messing? I'm not going to get pregnant. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So that's, high testosterone is the main thing you should focus on, that side of things, with people with PCOS.
Okay, interesting. And then PMDD. So that is like premenstrual
dysphoric disorder.
Dysphoric disorder.
This one's really, really hard for women, especially because it gets so overlooked as just PMT. But like, you're grand, like, you know, with the moody bitch on her period. Like, but it's actually... Mm-hmm. So remember I said earlier, when you make progesterone, it's like your mother nature, you're a calming hormone, you feel amazing, this when you have enough of it. People with PMDD can't basically utilize their progesterone properly. So instead of making them feel calm, they feel really, really anxious. And they, like, there's been studies done that people with PMDD can almost become like clinically depressed the second 2 weeks of their cycle. And then they're like two, like almost like bipolar, two different people, their estrogen phase and their progesterone phase. So the treatment for it is usually antidepressants. Mm-hmm. We use a herb called St. John's wort, which is amazing for depression. And I have loads of clients with PMDD on this as well, use things like magnesium, use B vitamins to support the body with stress. It's got to do like your dopamine receptors, a little bit different than someone who suffers with PMT and it's, and they're feeling anxious. That's lack of progesterone. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. PMD is really, really hard. And medically, there's not that much you can do besides take the antidepressants.
There's not much research on it as well. I remember reading about it before because my friend of mine said that she suffered from it. And I was like, I've never heard of that shit. And she's like, no, it's like you can get like debilitating depression, but just for those 2 weeks. Like after your period, you're like, yay, it's like the cloud being lifted off or whatever, which must be so hard to compute in your brain. You're like, because you just, it's like mood swings, like crazy mood swings. That must feel horrendous.
And you'll normally see it kind of run in families as well.
Okay.
You know, and how would you know? Because I'm sure if some people, because we do hear, you know, like you were saying about like, oh, it's the moody bitch or whatever. Like I definitely get more like emotional and angry on my period. But how do you know like when, you know, it's a problem or it's just kind of a normal cycle, like, and a normal reaction to, like,
I think if it's actually
change.
Like affecting you, like my client's PMG, like they won't go out, they can't go to work. Okay. It's like you're clinically depressed. Do you know, it's not just like, oh, I don't feel great today.
Yeah, that, they can't get up and get out.
It's like they're, yeah, like they just can't cope for 2 weeks. And it can get worse as well as they get older. It's not as common as you think. That's the one thing of people, like, I think I have PMDD and then I'll give them stuff to support their hormones, balance out their estrogen, progesterone, they feel so much better the next month. Where hormone support can help for PMDD, but it's not enough on its own generally. Like, I think herbal medicine is the key to PMDD from a natural point of view. Like, the St. John's Wort is amazing for that. And I wouldn't always just give every single person St. John's Wort. I'll try them on the normal plan first and then I'll give them something like herbal medicine. So if anyone's listening, not sure, it's like literally, do you feel like a split person?
It's like a debilitating.
Yeah, debilitating. Yeah, and it's not even like you have good days as well. Like if you're down your mom and dad and your sisters, you're having a laugh and you're grand. And then you come home, you're like, oh, I don't really feel great now. But people with PMDD will feel bad the whole 2 weeks. It's like nothing makes them feel better. Does that make
sense? Yeah, that's wild.
And you can also suffer from like really bad like body dysmorphia as well. I heard like for those 2 weeks, some people it's like self-loathing. That's what my friend described it to me as.
Poor girl.
I know. I think she has it like under control now. It was a few years ago, but she was just like, it's horrendous. Like she's like, I can't go to work. Like you just feel like you hate yourself. And then she's like, but then the minute I'm finished my period, I'm like, oh. So then she feels like you're like better. And then it's like, oh,
yeah,
my God.
It comes every month.
Cyclical, literally. Yeah. So then I guess like if we're going to talk about periods for a while, like I've always had, it's completely personal, but maybe some other people have had something similar. Like my period has never been really 28 days. It's kind of like regulated. Every now and again, I'll get like a 28-day cycle and I'm like, oh my God, I feel deadly.
I am a goddess.
Literally, I'm like, okay, finally my body's relaxed. But I'll usually have like a longer-ish period, like say like 30 to 35. Like I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't consider my period late if I went 35 days, you know, that way. And what is that? Can that be like genetic or can that be normal? Or is it always like should you always aim for a 28-day cycle?
I say anywhere between 26 and like 33, 34 days is normal.
Okay.
Okay. If it's kind of I'm saying if it's randomly happening, there we go. Oh,
okay. That is hard to say.
Again, remember I said at the start that ovulation is always 2 weeks before your period. So if you have a random month all of a sudden and your period came on day 34 and it's usually day 28, it means you ovulated late that month.
Okay.
Which means, were you stressed? That's the main thing I always say for ovulation. Like, you have to remember, ovulation is your body being like, yeah, we're ready to make a baby now. Mm-hmm. So if it thinks that you're having an absolute meltdown, it's going to push it out. You're not going to ovulate.
Because it's not a safe place to it's like, make a baby.
Exactly. Like, you can't even look after yourself. I'm not going to get pregnant. Like, so...
Yeah.
Anywhere, from say like 26 to 33 days. I don't, like 35 sometimes can be too long. Your period's ever heavy?
Never.
They're okay?
I never really have a heavy, like just day one usually. My period only lasts like 3.5-ish days. Yeah. It's not very, I've asked my mum, like my mum's the exact same.
Hers are like that as well.
Yeah,
she genetic. Was,
yeah, she was always, and like she got her period later as well. Like I think she was like 14. I think I was like 15, nearly 16. But I also did like loads of sports when I was younger and I heard that can like delay it. But yes, because I remember I asked my mom, but actually going back on stress, I remember it's so crazy how even stress that you don't realize, I feel that you're absorbing can affect your period. So when Lindsay and I started to do the podcast full time, I got made redundant from my job. And like, I didn't even really realize that I had any stress in me whatsoever. And like, I missed a whole period. Now usually I've never would really miss a period. So I was like, fuck, I'm pregnant. I was like, oh my God. Like I was scared shitless.
She was.
Lindsay was like, take a test. And I was like, I'm afraid to take the test. And she was like, take the fucking test.
Yeah, because girls do that all the time. They'll be like living in this stress and not just go and do the test and deal with the situation.
Delaying your period more.
I always find once you do it, you get your period next day.
Okay. No, that literally happened to me. It was like 48 or 50 days. And I was like, fuck. And then I did my period. I took the test and it said negative. I took two tests because I was like, just in case. And then it said negative. And I was like, okay. And I think I told my mom the next day, because I was like my mom's always very open about like cycles and stuff. And I was like, I missed my period completely, but I take a test and it's negative. And she was like, that can just kind of happen. And we were like chatting about it, and I was like, she was like, are you sure you're not stressed? And I was like, no, I'm not stressed at all. Like, I'm unemployed. It's great. Like, I'm just like, and she was like, you also lost your job. So like, you probably did absorb some sort of like tension or stress over that without even really noticing. And I've noticed that happening in my cycle a few times, like around lockdown, my period was late at the first few months. I think that's so crazy that your body can just absorb it without you even being like, I'm stressed.
Well, I think it's like fight or flight mode. Like, totally. I remember, you know, if we were wandering around so stressed as we're feeling inside, it's like you keep on going on, but then your body will like show you how stressed it is in some way. So that's why you should listen to.
Yeah, I say to my clients, your period is your monthly report card. It tells you like,
that's a great one.
How good your body were this month. I actually want to say one thing, because we already kind of talked about PCOS. Another thing is called hypothalamic amenorrhea.
Okay.
And it's loss of periods. On ultrasound, you'll have cysts, right? So it always gets misdiagnosed PCOS. Sometimes some doctors call it like lean PCOS. It's usually women who like that you were saying, like you got your period quite late when you're a teenager. So hypothalamic amenorrhea is that, I said, sorry, a minute ago, testosterone is high. So your body's like, I'm not ovulating, too much testosterone, absolutely freaked. In hypothalamic amenorrhea, your body isn't even trying to ovulate. It's so stressed. It's like, I'm not making a baby. And this can be due to over-exercising, low body weight, under eating. So this is a big thing. People always associate with kind of hypothalamic amenorrhea, people kind of more like eating disorders, and people are underweight. But you could be a healthy weight and not eat enough food, and you'll still miss your period because you just don't have enough calories there to actually support ovulation.
Yeah.
And then also emotional stress. So I see this all the time in my clinic, especially our generation. We love, girls are like, oh, but like, I'm so healthy. Like, I never have a cheat meal, and I work out like 6 days a week, and I get my 10,000 steps every single day. And why have I got no periods? I'm so healthy though. Like, and I eat no carbs.
Yeah.
Or like that, like they're just like putting too much stress. They're doing HIIT training 5 days a week. Like, I'm like, your body is not going to let you get pregnant if it thinks that you're running away from a bear. Like, so.
Yeah.
Genetically, it's like my heart rate is so elevated, like, for every single day.
It doesn't know you're just like have 10 kettlebell swings to go. Like, yeah. It's like, do you know that kind of thing? Yeah. So that's really, really misdiagnosed. And it's so, so important for women who are listening, who think if they've been diagnosed PCOS and like, I have no symptoms, I don't have excess facial hair, I don't have insulin resistance, testosterone is not high in my blood test, you can go and get bloods done and you can check two hormones and it will tell you if it is PCOS or hypothalamic amenorrhea. I find a lot of doctors aren't aware though of hypothalamic amenorrhea. Like, I have to actually send people back and be like, no, you like
get tested for this.
Yeah, like specifically, like.
And I think so, it can obviously happen, especially with like, say, under eating or lower calories or training too much. I feel like I hear that a lot, and it obviously can happen before, almost like the stress thing, like without you even really realizing you're doing too much exercise. So like doing like a lot of high intensity training, obviously, like multiple times a week, a lot of running. I've heard of a lot of people running, who do huge amounts of running.
Running from a bear. Where are you running to?
Like, you're not having a baby this month.
Where are you running to?
So how do you find the balance then?
Eat enough calories, I suppose. Yeah. And, you know, listen to your body. That there's some, you know, people I would see and they're very into exercise. Like, it's okay to miss a few days if you're absolutely in bits. And you know what I mean? It's like, and have a healthy body weight and manage stress where you can, like get enough sleep, like take things for anxiety if you have to. Like, it's just supporting your body as much as we can. You know, it's hard. Like, hormones are tricky. I wish I could, like, just take this pill and you'd be absolutely brilliant. Like, you know.
It's kind of great though that women, we do have like that report card, because I say it's harder for men to know when their hormones are off. Because like, they don't have anything that shows them, like, like, you know, because at least we have like a monthly indicator.
Yeah.
Like, you missed a period, your period's really heavy, your period's really light. Like, men are just like, I'm grand.
Yeah.
But I think because we're so used to kind of periods. Like, I mean, I've had my period since, you know, I'm 33 now. I probably got mine when I was 15. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm still kind of not sure of it because it is kind of random. So I think we can get, as Irish women, because we don't speak that openly about like periods in the sense of like, oh, mine's much more like it's later or it's heavier than usual, or I'm feeling this type of way, because we're just like, oh, I don't really know. We're kind of floating around not knowing what's going on. So then.
And then the society, it's okay. Like, doctors see nothing wrong with someone being on the pill from 15 to 35. Mm. And when you want to get pregnant at 35, they take you off the pill and they put you on something to help you ovulate. Like, I just don't understand like this, but upsets me more so than anything else. I'm like, how can you castrate women for that long? We make no hormones. Could you imagine saying to a lad, here's a pill, take it every single day. It might kill your sex drive. You might put on a bit of water weight. You might actually be really anxious on it. Oh, also, if you forget to take it, we might get pregnant. Okay, cool. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's why they say that, like, because the, like, they've had the technology for the male pill, apparently, for years, but they're like, no man will ever take it.
No,
like,
never.
I remember when I was coming off the pill, my ex-boyfriend, I remember, like, kind of talking. He also, men have no idea what, like, hormonal contraception. They just hear pill. You just take a pill, magic pill, no pregnant, no baby, brilliant, you know? And I remember explaining to him, I was like, it stops you ovulating, all this kind of stuff. And I was like, would you take, if I told you to take a pill, like hormonal pill, every single day, just so you don't get pregnant, would you take it? He's like, fuck no. I'm like, so that's why I'm coming off a bitch. I was like, fuck that shit, you know? Because it is, when you explain it to men, I find they are like, what?
If I say to you the pill is a steroid drug, take this steroid drug every day and you don't have this the fancy brand name of Yaz or like, you know,
Dianette,
like Yasmin, like your best, your
micro light. It's so light,
exactly. Yeah. If you knew the actual name, and you'd be a bit more like, sorry, what am I taking again? Like, do you know that kind of way? It's because it's so normalized. It's a lovely little pink box of flower on the front. Like, and again, I don't want to be like fear mongering people off. Just be aware of it. Like, you know what I mean? Ask questions why you're on, especially like that. If it's for a hormonal reason, that's just being masked.
Yeah. Basically.
Well, you go to the doctor and you trust that, you know, they're. It's a doctor for health, you know the way. So you kind of just,
and they've got more knowledge than you. So if someone was considering coming off the pill, what would, like, and they were kind of anxious about it, maybe for whatever reason, what would you give them, any like tips on like supplements or anything like that to take, or what to expect maybe with mood swings or whatever else?
The first thing is you need to give your body time. Like, people mess with me like, hey, I came off the pill like 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago and I still haven't got my period. I'm like, well, first of all, how long have you been on it? Second of all, what were your periods like before you went on it? Like, that's what you need to expect. The pill, for most people, it's not going to regulate your cycle. If you had regular periods before, they're probably going to be regular afterwards. So just come off it and see what happens is the main thing I would say. Unless something more severe like that, you're on it for acne, you're on it for really, really heavy or painful periods. Again, that was more a lifestyle issue that I kind of explained to you there, the estrogen, progesterone, that you need to work on diet, you need to work on digestion before you come off the pill, which is what I would do with clients. But in general, just come off it and give your body time. Like, even you need to give yourself 12 months before I even would be, like you said, took your body 10 months.
Yeah, and I think even the guts of a year, really, you know, that way.
And women are freaked because they're so used to seeing this monthly bleed, even though it's not a real period, that, oh my God, I haven't bled in 3 months, like up the walls, absolutely freaked. Like, in terms of supplements then, so there's a few nutrients the pill depletes. And one of my lecturers when I was training, she's from Australia, and she was saying in Australia, you get given a prescription for the pill, and then they go, okay, now go inside to that nutritionist and she'll tell you what you need to supplement with, because the pill depletes these nutrients. Like, amazing. So,
so good.
Yeah, the first thing will be gut health. So, like, I think anyone on the pill should be taking, like, a probiotic, for example. And the other thing are B vitamins. So you have 9 different B vitamins, and they're all for your nervous system. They're for stress, they're for energy, they're for mood, they're for your PMT. And the pill does deplete them, especially as well if you're trying to get pregnant. I'm like, give yourself minimum 3 months before you try and get pregnant when you come off the pill to let those eggs develop without the pill being affecting them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So 3 months of being on a really, really good prenatal, or even just someone come off the pill and taking a really good B complex just for anxiety, mood and stress. The other thing that the pill depletes is zinc. And this is more important for women who have acne. So zinc helps lower testosterone. Testosterone is often the root cause of acne, right? And it also helps with oil production. So you come off the pill, your skin gets oily, testosterone surges, and it's like the one thing your body needs the most, which is zinc, has just been depleted because you've been on the pill for so long. Like, and that's why so many people's skin really, really flare up. It's hard, like, I don't really like giving any like dose just stuff like that. You're kind of better off, like, it's too broad. Like, I don't give every single person zinc either, but generally a B complex is quite safe to take anyway for most people without having to get advice on it.
So let's go into some of the questions. We covered most of them actually, which is great, but so one question here is opinions on evening primrose oil for PMS. Would you recommend it?
Yeah, it can help. Yeah.
What is it? I don't really know anything about that. I've heard of it though.
It's just a good fat, basically. And it helps with progesterone support in the second 2 weeks of your cycle. So I often give evening primrose oil for the second half of the cycle.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
it can help.
And doesn't it soften the cervix a bit? Because I remember when I was pregnant that
I heard that
women
before.
Would, you could like break the capsule and insert it like right up to your vagina just before giving birth, because it will soften. Yeah. The kind of cervix. I did it.
Do you know what's so funny? I love hormones. I love fertility. I'm like, I can get you pregnant. I don't care anymore what happens after that.
Yeah.
I have like no inches in pregnancy and pediatrics.
Really interesting.
No, it's so funny. I suppose because I'm obviously not pregnant. I think obviously when I get pregnant, fingers crossed down the line, I'll be absolutely obsessed and I'll be, but it's just not something I'm like, oh my God, no way, I never knew that. Like, you're,
I think it's amazing because it was just like in my head when I got pregnant. Of course, I don't think I thought about it before I did get pregnant. And I just actively wanted to have like a really healthy pregnancy and a really healthy labor. I didn't want to be scaremonger because it's so common in Ireland for women to, you know, get like the epidural for labor and like just be so scared about labor. And, you know, it's known as the worst thing ever and most painful thing. But like, I was like, why would we be made to give birth if it's so traumatic? You know, it has to be in your head. So I kind of just looked up any like natural little thing, like shoving.
It's literally what you're designed to do.
Yeah. And raspberry leaf tea I was drinking, that kind of. So it's kind of like I was preparing my insides, you know? And that was just, but again, like arming myself with that knowledge. Same with like, if I did that before my periods, maybe I wouldn't be as fucked in the head. But yeah, it kind of just helped me kind of, you know, remove myself from my body and from the, because it's really scary when you have, when you get pregnant, you're like, there's literally one way for this thing to get out, unless like, you know, cesarean, but like, you know, it's quite scary to think that, you know, you have to at least first try the pushing. And so I just kind of arm myself with knowledge and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of lost with periods and our health like that, because we're so used to just be like stopping it. It's, and if you're told when you're younger to just go on the pill, like then we kind of, it's really embedded in us from an early age that like we shouldn't be having periods or something.
Or that the pill helps your periods.
Yeah.
The big thing that my concern is that they, women are told period pain is normal. Or, you know, PMT, it's normal. I'm like, no, it's common. Okay. It's not normal. Do you know what I mean? It's a sign your body is trying to tell you something. Just because we all get it doesn't mean that's the way it's meant to be.
Okay.
Do you know that kind of way? So especially really like, and some people, again, I'm not like, I feel like I'm bashing doctors at all. I'm not at all. I always say to clients, like sometimes they come to me quite disheartened and I'm like, the GP sitting in front of you has trained so hard to be where they are. They've spent thousands and thousands of euro. Like they want to help people. That's why they're GP. Mm-hmm. So it's not their fault. They have nothing else to give you. Do you know the way?
Yeah.
So when you're 15 and you're in bits with your skin or heavy periods, all they have to give you is the pill. It's the system that's wrong. So basically a lot of women come, they're like, oh, it's just normal. Like take a Ponsen or take Nurofen or take, like, women are doubled over, can't go to work because they're in that much pain. In that sense, you need to get that investigated. Like endometriosis is another hormonal issue.
Yeah.
And that often gets masked for years and years and years because it's just misdiagnosed as period pain or even IBS. It can affect digestion as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it takes 9 years to get an endometriosis diagnosed in Ireland. Like it's
crazy. And then doesn't it get, it gets worse, it gets the worse. Longer it's undiagnosed? Because it's like, it, what is endometriosis again?
So it is, it's not quite the same as like PCOS and like hypothalamic amenorrhea. It's like a hormonal issue. It's actually almost like, they don't really know the root cause. It can be genetic, it can be autoimmune, and it's tissue in the lining of the uterus that grows. Now, estrogen makes it worse. Remember I said estrogen makes things grow?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So once you start menstruating, once you get your first period, the estrogen being produced by your body can feed that tissue, essentially.
Okay.
Feed is a strong word, but you know what I mean? And make that worse. So, I mean, if you went vegan and ate nothing with, you know, cow's milk or anything, you'd still have endo. So it's like diet isn't always the root cause of it. Yeah. But it causes extreme pain in women. It can cause really, really bad, like heavy periods. And as well, the medical treatment is a laparoscopy. So they go in and they'll actually take away that tissue.
Oh,
that's meant to be very painful, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. But this is where I think the system kind of fails women with endo because, yes, step one, get rid of the tissue, but you're genetically disposed to having endo. So unless you address, eastern side of things, most of the tissue grows back again for certain people. I have a client, they've had 3, 4, 5, 6 laparoscopies. Because you have to do both. Like if someone comes to me with endo, I'm like, go and get the lap and then come to me. I would never treat them just for
nutrition. It.
No, you need to do both together. Like if that's one thing you need to come out of kind of guns blazing from the medical point of view and then like the natural point of view then as well.
And then is that similar to fibroids as well?
Fibroids are different. Fibroids are from too much estrogen.
Yeah,
that's like hormone issues. Yeah, and it can cause really, really like really heavy periods, really painful periods.
Yeah. But they obviously kind of probably feels the same because it's similar with endometriosis and it's like really heavy periods, extreme pain.
Yeah.
It sounds horrible. Mm. I've heard of some, I knew some girls with it and they were like, it's usually a lot of the time the girls who are like out of school for like a week before their period, you know, that way that they're just have such bad cramps.
Yeah.
So crazy. So two more questions because we've actually covered so many of them. Why do I still get PMS while on a hormonal contraception?
It's a side effect of the contraceptive drug. Okay. That you're on. Yeah.
So I remember that used to freak me out when I was on the pill as well. I was like, all my symptoms, like, because it was like, if I was ever like afraid I was pregnant, I'd look up like symptoms. It was like sore boobs, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, they're all the same symptoms that I have before I have my period.
Yeah. So it's just like the same way our own hormones work. It's like a buildup of the hormones and then it drops and you get that release. So it's the same as being on the pill, synthetic drugs that give you those side effects.
So that's like sore boobs, a bit of weight gain.
Weight gain, water retention, even constipation sometimes people get before their period is really common.
Yeah.
It's just side effect of being on.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's not like, it's hard to treat that because I'm like, what can you do?
You're taking the drug that causes it.
Or
so.
I get a lot of people asking me, like, I have low libido, what will I do? I'm on the pill. And I'm like, sorry.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
Or come off the pill.
Yeah, it's so, and it's so, because I'm just so black and white with people. Like, I don't try and be like, take these herbs, they'll be brilliant. I'm not going to like give people something I don't think
snake oil.
Yeah, no. Like, I'm like, oh, sorry. Like,
And then the last one, tips for coming off the pill when it was prescribed for acne.
Yes. So we kind of touched on this earlier. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm thinking I literally declined before I came here for the exact same thing. And address diet first. So how much cow's milk are you having? How much green veg are you having? There's a big thing at the moment, Skin Acumax.
I've heard of that.
A lot of the, like, you know, facial salons and stuff will sell Skin Acumax. It's so expensive, which I'm always so heartbroken for. Because I'm like, if you had bad acne, you would spend any amount of money.
I know.
I'd be like, I can fix it for 500 euro. You're like, okay, here's all my money. Like,
and it's so much trial and error from what I see. Like, because one thing can work for one person.
That's why it's such a big multi-million dollar industry as well.
Like, is it correct about, I remember reading this in Julia McKeith's book back in the day, that if you get like different parts of the face, is because, like, say
different,
if it's chin, it's
body,
like hormonal. Yeah, it's coming from somewhere. Is that true?
I don't know. I feel like take that with a grain of salt kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because they're like, chin
that's
is...
That's the phrase, take with a grain of salt, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. Did I get it right?
Maybe it's anyone who comes into this studio. Yeah. They're like...
So I love like Ayurveda medicine as well. So as my mum being a herbalist, we look at Ayurveda and they do that whole thing, face mapping, and they'll kind of say the forehead is more liver and, you know, cheek jawline is kind of more hormones, testosterone. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you would see, like, I see kind of 11, 12, 13 year old girls who haven't had their period and they've a lot of like acne on their forehead and they have a really poor diet. So you're kind of looking at like liver, which would be very much linked together. Yeah. So I can say, it's not like scientifically proven.
Yeah.
But you kind of would, like, you know, testosterone, you'll normally see it all around the jawline. And where do you get your breakouts for your period? It's around your chin and your mouth. So yes, but I don't know how, like, you know, scientifically accurate.
Or like,
is.
I know if I've been like drinking loads, I always get them on my cheek. And apparently that's like diet.
Kidneys
around here.
And
it's like, if I've been on a heavy weekend on the wine, I always will get one like there. I'm like, great, the worst place for one. Fantastic.
Skin Acumax. Basically, Skin Acumax is a massive supplement at the moment. Really, really expensive. People are literally selling their granny to get it. And the magic ingredient in Acumax is a thing called DIM. And DIM is the extract that's found in leafy green veg. So it's in your kale, it's in broccoli, it's in cabbage, it's in Brussels sprouts, it's in like turnips and radish as well, randomly, even though they're not your leafy greens. And the way I describe it to my clients is they come along and they'll pick up extra hormones that shouldn't be in your system, and then they drive it down to your gut, and then you have to poo it out. So you have to make sure you're not constipated, okay? And you have to make sure you're getting enough of these greens in. This is for acne, right? So if you're someone who's suffered with acne and a green vegetable never passes your lips, this is your first problem. Do you know that kind of way? Because that's how your body breaks down these hormones long term.
Okay.
So for clients who want to come off the pill, like I said earlier, I put them on a plan for like 4 weeks first, just get them changing their diet, maybe some supplements add in, like, for example, the zinc I was talking about earlier, which is so important for skin, and you're on the pill, which depletes it. And just get them to get into a good routine first. The biggest thing that breaks my heart with being people who are putting the pill for skin, so Yasmin and Dianette are two of the most common ones. They are amazing for skin. People's skin, gorgeous, right? But the way they work is, number one, they reduce your androgens, which is your testosterone. Okay. And number two is they reduce oil production. So if your skin is less oily, it's not going to get blocked. But the problem is we need oil just to nourish our skin. So if you can imagine, your body has to work so hard even just to make the smallest amount of oil, then you come off the pill and your body's still working that hard. It hasn't got the memo. Relax on your grand.
It
overproduces. A lot of people who are on the pill have dry skin and then they come off and they're like, oh my God, I have oily skin. I've never had oily skin. Like, none of their products, their makeup, they don't know how to even do their makeup anymore.
Everything would be so different.
And with the testosterone and the androgens, then the way that works is, I'm like, do you know when you clean your bedroom, you just feck everything in the wardrobe and like, it's clean. But like, it's not clean, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. So it mops up testosterone. I'm doing like inverted commas. But when you come off the pill, it's like you open the wardrobes and that will surge afterwards. So a lot of people, their skin looks great. They're off the pill about 6 months and then it flares. It's six months later, right? And it will usually, the testosterone will surge for about 12 months. So that's what I'm kind of prepping people for. I'm like, look, it's going to be inevitable usually, but we can manage it as best we can.
Okay.
A lot of people actually get misdiagnosed, I should say, with PCOS during this time as well, because testosterone is high. Okay. So they lose their periods. They might get one or two periods coming off the pill, and then testosterone surges and their body's like freaked, being like, too much testosterone. And you might get things like your acne. You'll have irregular periods. You'll have high testosterone on a blood test, and it looks like PCOS, but I would call it post-pill PCOS. It will only last for about 12 months, and then usually comes down naturally, or like we try speed it up using herbs. And
that's so interesting, because probably like when they ask you, I can imagine like getting your bloods, they're probably like, are you on the hormonal pill? And you're like, no. So then they're like, they're not thinking like, oh, but I came off it six months ago, you know, that way. So I guess it's if you are in that position, to make sure to, if you're getting tests, like disclose that information as well.
Completely, yeah. Or like a lot of women come to me and they're trying to get pregnant, and then they're like, oh my God, I have PCOS. I never had PCOS, especially if they've never had any issues with the hormones before they went on the pill, and all of a sudden they come off and they've PCOS. They're like, sorry. Like
put me back in the pill.
Yeah, like where did this even come from? So then what's the problem with that is they're offered like fertility drugs then. Do you know what I mean? Like the Clomid, which stimulates ovulation, not realizing that actually now you just need to fix testosterone. It's not your
And it's more fake.
Yeah. Exactly.
Drugs it's another that we're putting thing. In our body. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like just get to the root of the problem rather than they haven't figured out what's causing it.
And you're not pushing your body to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're not allowing your body to ovulate naturally, or, you know, getting all that, you know, it's like you're a machine inside you. It's like, get that working well. Mm-hmm. And if there is something, I guess, that is stopping it working well, then you can attack that. But like, instead of just being like, here's another plaster to cover the wound, just keep putting polyfiller on the crack on the wall, you know, that way. So it's interesting.
So interesting.
I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. We covered so much. Thank you so much, Aisling.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, it was so interesting.
I know. I'm going to be coming down to you. Yes. And then I'll come, maybe we could do a little review then.
Follow up. Totally. That'd be great.
Because I need to sort out my room. Just make sure she's thriving.
Yeah.
She's screaming at me right now.
She's like, help me. But thanks so much, Aisling, for coming down.
Thank you.
And if anyone wants to find Aisling on Instagram, it's AOK Nutrition.
Yes.
And you're based in Port Marnock.
I am.
We've loads of Port Marnock and Malahide gals, I'm sure. Yes.
And you also use social media to talk about this stuff as well. You have highlights and stuff. Yeah. So go follow.
Okay. It's such a great name.
I know. It's so fun to say. But thank you so much for coming on.
No problem.
Okay. Bye,
gals.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.